And tonight I would like to speak about, my topic is how deep the Father's love for us. I want to repeat that. How deep the Father's love for us. The well-known author called David Tripp writes the following. He says the following. He says, "Your life is much bigger than a good job, an understanding spouse, and non-delinquent kids." Where's my kids? There you are. "It is bigger than beautiful gardens, nice vacations, and fashionable clothes. In reality, you are part of something immense, something that began before you were born and will continue after you die. God is rescuing fallen humanity, transporting them into His kingdom and progressively shaping them into His likeness. And He wants you to be a part of it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, graciously bless us tonight with a deep understanding and a gratitude for Your deep love for each one of us. Your deep love so vividly revealed and demonstrated at the cross of Christ. So Lord Jesus, we pray that You may be magnified as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Redeemer. And Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that You may search out every heart tonight, that You may convict, that You may encourage, that You may empower, that You may save precious souls, and that You would help us to love our great God and Savior even more. Lord, we pray this because truly we are in need of Your grace. In Your precious name. Amen. So, what we would like to do tonight is just speak about this reality. God has revealed and demonstrated His great love for you and me. And you know, His great love is this. God has got an internal rescue plan. And that plan is fulfilled in Christ alone. And His plan, friends, is called reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is a majestic, holy God graciously making a way for people that is hopelessly lost in sin to be saved and to be reconciled. Reconciliation is the following, that God sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus. And who is the Lord Jesus? He is fully God, He is fully man, born of a virgin, He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died a sacrificial death for every sin that you and I and everyone has and is and will commit. And He gloriously raised Him from the dead. And you know, when Jesus was raised, that was a wonderful testimony that His sacrifice was accepted. So important to realize this. His sacrifice was accepted once and for all our sins. And why did Jesus die on that cross? Number one, to appease God's wrath. You know, the reality is this, friends. God will punish every sin. So when Jesus died on the cross, He appeased the holy wrath of God. And not only that, He completely satisfied the perfect demands of the law. So, just quickly, why did Paul write this letter to the Colossians? You see, what happened in that congregation is the congregation was under attack. Under attack by false teachers called Gnostics. And what was the game plan of these Gnostics? Their plan was to deceive, to confuse, and to mislead God's people. And when you look at the Gnostics, it's like a poikikos brew, a deceptive combination of, you've got Jewish legalism, you've got Oriental philosophy, you've got pagan astrology, you've got mysticism, and you've got a little bit of Christianity. So what were they teaching? They were teaching that if you're a Christian, you need to adhere to what? To Old Testament laws. You find that today. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow certain diets, certain rules, certain regulations. You need to worship angels. You must realize that the devil and the demons is controlling this world. You must understand that the flesh, the body is evil, and the spirit is good. And you know, as I was reading of the Gnostics, I was wondering, so why did Jesus come to earth in a real physical body? And why did Jesus enjoy the blessings of everyday life? You remember Jesus? He was invited to a marriage feast. He had a dinner. He ate fish with his disciples. You see, the real issue is each one of us is born with a fallen sin nature. And that sin nature wants to control this body. And that sin nature wants us to use this body for sin. But you know what, friends? Your body is not evil. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Gnostics were infiltrating the church. And previously I said the focal point of attack of the Gnostics was Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done. But friends, now we see Paul in Colossians, and Paul is saying, all that the Christian need is Christ, and Christ alone. Because you know what? Christ is preeminent. He is the first in all things. Christ settled the sin question once and for all. Christ defeated all satanic powers, and Christ put an end to the legal demands of the law. So now we see Paul. In chapter 1, what does Paul do? Paul starts exalting Christ. Paul says, believer, if you've got Christ, you've got everything. And Paul starts and he says that Jesus is preeminent in the gospel, in redemption, in creation, in the church, and even in Paul's life, Christ ruled supreme. Friends, and this should be true of yourself, is Christ ruling supreme in your heart? And then in chapter 2, Paul starts now exposing the false teachers. And he shows how their false teaching is contradicting his teaching about Jesus as our supreme and sufficient Savior. And he says the following, if you are in Christ, you are complete. He is completely sufficient for all life, for all godliness. He is sufficient for your salvation, friends. Jesus is sufficient for your sanctification. He is sufficient for your glorification. Then in chapters 3 and 4, at the end of Colossians, Paul starts getting practical. And friends, let's not fool ourselves. You know, what you believe will ultimately determine how you live. If you believe in wrong doctrine, believe me, it will influence your life, because wrong doctrine equals wrong living. So friends, what do you see? In the book of Colossians, we see the best antidote against false teaching. That's a question. What is the best antidote against false teaching? The best antidote against false teaching is a godly life. A godly life. And you know, if Christ is truly our first love, if He is truly preeminent in our hearts, what will we do? We will glorify Him. How will we glorify Him? We will glorify Him, and that's chapters 3 and 4, by fleeing from sin. We will glorify Him by keeping ourselves pure. We will glorify Him by committing to exactly what we're doing tonight, committing to fellowship. We will glorify Him by loving our wives, loving our families, by being good workers in the workplace, by unashamedly sharing the gospel. So friends, everything starts with sound doctrine. So you can open your Bibles. We will read from Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 23, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Let's read verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So my sermon topic tonight is, how deep is the Father's love for us? Friends, how deep is the Father's love for us? You only need to take a look at the cross of Christ. That's all. And when you look at the cross of Christ, you need to realize that the cross of Christ is all about reconciliation. That God sent His only Son to reconcile us to Himself through His precious blood. And tonight I only have two sermon points, that's all. My first point is, we will see God's love revealed in this portion. My second point is, we will see God's love demonstrated. Firstly, we will see God's love revealed. And how's God's love revealed? He's got an eternal plan of salvation in Christ alone. And how's God's love demonstrated? God, friends, reached out to you and me, and He reconciled us to Himself. And we will see His wonderful work of salvation in the past, in the present, as well as in the future. So let's start with God's love revealed. Reconciliation means that God has got an eternal plan of salvation. And you know what's wonderful about this plan? Who's the architect? God the Father. Who's the one that implements? God the Son. Who's the one that administers this plan? God the Holy Spirit works in your heart. Maybe tonight, for the first time, you experience God the Holy Spirit working in your heart from the inside out, convicting you, teaching you, guiding you, working in you. And this eternal plan of God is all about who Jesus is and what He has done. So, I want to start with God's love revealed in the person of Christ. Who is Jesus? Let's go to verse 19. Verse 19 says, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. Friends, it pleased God that all His fullness should dwell in His Son. Who is Jesus? This is very important. Who is Jesus? When you read verse 19, Jesus is fully God and fully man. And this was the attack of the Gnostics. He is fully God and fully man. And that Greek word for fullness is pleroma. When the Bible speaks about the fullness that dwells in Christ, It's the sum total of the power and the attributes of God. Friends, when the Bible says that the fullness of God dwelled in Christ, it is the sum total of His power and His attributes. But not only is His fullness in Him, it speaks about it dwells in Him. That word dwell doesn't mean that the fullness of God stayed with Christ for a certain period. That word dwell means that the fullness of God was part of the essential being of Christ. The Son is forever co-equal with the Father. And when you go to Colossians chapter 2, you've got your Bibles open. Colossians chapter 2, quickly, let's go to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." So friends, who is the Son of God? God is revealing His love. He's got an eternal plan of salvation fulfilled in the person of Christ. This is Christ. All the fullness of God, all His power, all His attributes is an essential part forever and ever in the Son. The Son is co-equal with the Father. Now, what did the Gnostics taught? Because the Gnostics is here in the church, and the Gnostics is trying to mislead people and deceive people. The Gnostics, the false teachers, taught the following. Maybe you think this, Jesus is not enough. That's all. That's what the Gnostics taught. Have you heard that? Jesus is not enough. You need more. I used to think that, friends. Jesus is not enough. You need more. The Gnostic says, you know what? We've got hidden knowledge. We've got special knowledge. If you want to be part of us, you will get a fuller revelation of who God is. So the Gnostic said, you know what? You need a special experience. You need a certain ritual. You need to abide to certain rules. Friends, does it sound familiar? Some people say, you need Jesus and you should be baptized. 50 years back, I remember my brother's mom-in-law came to me and said, Herman, you're not saved because you're not baptized. Apologies, Pastor Tiny, I was part of the Dutch Reformed Church that side, but I was saved. But I wasn't baptized. So this lady came to me and said, Herman, you know what? If you're not baptized, you're not saved. You get people like that. You know what? And I was still like, I was a babe in Christ. And God, in that moment, I could tell her, you know what? That means that the person that was crucified next to Christ wasn't in paradise. Because as far as I know, he wasn't baptized. Some people will say, you know what? You need Jesus and you need to speak in tongues. Confessing time. When I was part of the charismatic movement, they taught me that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Spirit of God. You don't have the fullness of the Spirit. Some people will tell you need Jesus and the second blessing. I remember being part of a holiness movement. In the holiness movement, they will tell you that if you receive the second blessing, you will stop sinning. It's a teaching, friends. You will stop sinning. You will be the perfect Christian. Some people will tell you, you need Jesus and you need that very special supernatural experience. Some people will tell you, you need Jesus and your own external checklist. You need to tick the boxes. I'm looking at Marius now. I can't tick that box. I can tick. You follow what I'm saying? And what is the result of this? Friends, the result is two things. Number one, spiritual pride. Number two, a judgmental attitude. But because the fullness of God dwelled within Jesus, because of who He is, what does the Bible teach? He is God in the flesh, and He dwelt among us. Because of that, Jesus could do what no other man could do. And now I want to speak about the second part of His love revealed, and that is the work of Christ. And that's verse 20. Let's go back to verse 20. The work of Christ. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Friends, Christ alone is the only way for a sinner to be reconciled to God. That word reconcile, you know what it means in Greek? Reconcile. It means to change completely. So you need to ask a question. You need to ask a question to yourselves tonight, even as you listen to me. Ask yourself this question. If you say that you are a sinner that was reconciled to God through the precious blood of Christ, you must remember, reconcile mean to change completely. Because friends, all of us have sinned and we continuously fall short of the glory of God. All of us once was dead in our sins. We were separated from God. Can I ask you a question? Are you struggling with sin? Even as I speak tonight, are you struggling with sin? Do you hate your sin? Friends, God is at work in your life. Don't lose hope. If you sit here tonight and you're struggling with sin issues and you hate your sin and you know your sin and you confess your sin and you're trying to forsake your sin, you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in your life. But I want to tell you tonight, if you sit here tonight and you listen to me, and you can tell me that you're not struggling with your sin at all. If you tell me that you've made peace with your sin, if you tell me that you're blind for your sin, I need to tell you, you are in grave danger. Repent. Because friends, you know, as I was preparing for the sermon, it just came to my heart, never ever underestimate the deceitfulness in your heart as a Christian. Can I repeat this? Never ever underestimate the deceitfulness of sin in your own heart. You know, Christians can be destroyed by sin. You know, I want to say, be very careful to fool around with secret sin in your life as a Christian. Because you know what? When we break God's commandments, that sin will eventually break you. You know, I don't know who of you have heard about Joshua Harris. He's a well-known Christian pastor, Joshua Harris. And I must be honest with you, I've got a few of his books at home. And I've been blessed by the books of Joshua Harris. I mean, it's biblical. It's precious. It's Christ-centered. But some time back, Joshua Harris decided to leave the ministry. And then Joshua Harris decided to leave his wife. And then Joshua Harris decided to leave Christ. And then Joshua Harris decided to tell the world, I am not a Christian anymore. Now, I'm not saying that Joshua Harris is lost. What I'm saying is, we need to pray for him. What I'm saying is this, friends. Be careful how you walk as a Christian. Walk in the light. Walk prayerfully. Walk and watch. Walk in fellowship with this dear brothers and sisters that's sitting next to you tonight. Don't walk alone. Walk in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. So friends, God's love is revealed in His person, who He is. The fullness of God is an essential part of Christ. Christ is God that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And now we see God's love revealed in His work. He is the one that reconciles sinners to God. And you know what is wonderful about the work of Christ? It is the work of Christ that removed that barriers between us and God. The barrier has been removed between us and God, and now we can return to God, repenting, believing, trusting in Christ alone. So, God reveals His great love. Let's quickly turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God reveals His great love at the cross. God reveals His great love at the cross. Friends, God wants sinners to repent and return to Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to this beautiful verse. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Can I repeat that? But is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This is God's love revealed. Né? God is patient. God has got a longing that sinners would repent and sinners would return to Him. So friends, remember that only Jesus alone could die on the cross, and only Jesus could make peace through His precious blood. And the Bible teaches us what? That without blood shedding, there is no forgiveness. But never forget, this is not normal blood. This is the blood of the Son of God, in which the fullness of God dwells. You see? The blood of Christ, friends, is powerful, sinless, life-giving. And then we read wonderfully, we read that He reconciled all things. Not only sinners, but He reconciled the universe. The creation was reconciled in Christ. Because the creation is under a curse. And the creation needs to be purified, needs to be redeemed, needs to be reconciled. And one day, we will see God's creation in the new heavens and the new earth. So, just be careful. Paul is not speaking about universal salvation when he speaks about all things. That all people, you get people that believe that. Eh? There's people that will tell you, you know what, all people will be saved eventually. The devil and hell is only a dream. It's non-existent. This is not what Paul is teaching. Paul is teaching that Christ has resolved the sin problem once and for all at the cross. And that He is the only way to be reconciled to God. So there we have it. Reconciliation in Christ. It is perfect. It is complete, and it is final. The topic of tonight, how deep is the Father's love for us? Friends, we see that Jesus reveals the Father's love in His person and work. We see that He is our Savior, our Creator. He is our eternal God, and He gave His life as a ransom for all, to save us, to sanctify us, to secure us. So friends, what is our response to God's love? Do we know Him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you kneeled at the cross? I remember kneeling at the cross. I remember kneeling in front of Christ and calling out, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Save me. Save me. Are you sitting here tonight and you know in your heart you're lukewarm? You know in your heart that you're just satisfied? There's no real longing, no real desire, no real zeal in your heart to be more like Christ? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you know what? You're ashamed of the gospel. But I want to tell you, friends, God has revealed His love for us. It is deep. And Jesus deserved to be preeminent in our hearts. Jesus deserves to rule supreme in my heart and your heart. Right, let's move on. So not only is God's love revealed in this wonderful eternal plan that is fulfilled in who Jesus is and what He has done, we also see, secondly, that God's love is demonstrated. We see that God, friends, God is not like the God of the Muslim that is distant. God reached out to us in love, friends. He reached out to you and He reconciled you to Himself. And that work of reconciliation includes your past, your present, and your future. I want to close with this, that when we speak about reconciliation, we need to see God the Father reaching out to you, grabbing you, bringing you to Himself through the precious blood of His Son. Let's look at our past. Let's quickly go to Romans chapter 5, quickly, before I go on with Colossians. Romans chapter 5, 1 verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrated His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, God demonstrated His own love towards you and me, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let's go to verse 21. Verse 21, what happened in our past? "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death." You see what Paul is doing? Paul is contrasting our old life in sin against our new life in Christ. It's important. Sometimes we forget who we were in the past. But look at what Paul is doing. Paul starts off and he says, "You," and "although you." You know, Paul is speaking about every Colossian believer that were under the power and the penalty of sin. You, everyone, each one of us sitting here tonight, there was a stage in your life that you were totally depraved. And if you disagree with me, we need to talk. You. And then he says, "You were formerly alienated." He says, you know what? There was a time in your life when you were a stranger and an alien. You were separated from God. You were living without God and without hope due to the ignorance and the blindness of your heart. And then he goes on, he says, "You were enemies of God." You know, you were an enemy of God. The world hates the sovereign rule of God and resists Him. What is the slogan of the world? "I will do it my way. I will do it my way. I'm the captain of my soul. I'm the master of my destiny. I will do it my way." And Paul goes on and he says, "You were hostile in your mind." You know, God made each one of us with intelligence. And you know, He has written His law in every heart. And we have a conscience. But one thing is true, that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. The world, friend, hates God and will not submit to His rule. And then lastly, you are engaged in evil deeds. Everybody knows that saying. Saying is, sow a thought, and you will reap an action. Sow an action and you will reap a habit. Sow a habit and you will reap a character. Sow a character and you will reap a destiny. Friends, always remember that sinful thoughts and sinful actions go together. If you have a defiled mind, it will be reflected in your attitudes and your actions. That's it. Charles Spurgeon said the following. I just want to read what Charles Spurgeon said regarding God's love. Charles Spurgeon said the following. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, there has been a long-standing quarrel between God and man. It commenced in that day when our first parents hearkened to the serpent's voice and believed the devil rather than the maker. Yet God is not willing for that quarrel to continue. Isn't it wonderful? Yet God is not willing for that quarrel to continue. According to the goodness of His nature, He delights in love. He is the God of peace, and He has on His part prepared everything that is necessary for a perfect reconciliation. His glorious wisdom has devised a plan whereby, without violating His justice as the judge of all earth, and without tarnishing His perfect holiness, He can meet man upon the ground of mercy. And man can again become the friend of God. And then he ends by saying, that blessed work was done long ago. And now all that remains is that man should be reconciled to God. That he should be willing to end the dispute. And that his heart should turn towards his Maker again in love and peace and perfect reconciliation. Are we changed? Remember, what does the word reconciliation mean? Completely changed. Friends, are we changed? Why is it so that so many people confess Christ, but there's no godly fruit in their lives? You know, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says the following. He says, such were some of you, evil, hostile, arrogant, in sin. Some were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. And in the Spirit of God. We read in verse 22, yet now He has reconciled you in His fleshly body through death. Friends, this is the good news. If you have Jesus, you have enough. Because in Christ, God has justified you. He has declared you righteous. In Christ, God has redeemed you. He bought you from the slave market of sin and He set you free. In Christ, God has forgiven you. Your sin debt has been fully paid and is no more. Oh, that is wonderful. In Christ, God has reconciled you. We were enemies of God. Now we become the friends of God through the blood and righteousness of Christ. And in Christ, God has adopted you. Friends, you're not a stranger anymore. But you are now an eternal son and daughter of God. Let's quickly speak about your future. Verse 22. Let's read verse 22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Your future. Yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So the question is, what is the purpose of sanctification? What is the purpose of, reconciliation? Why did God reconcile us? What is the purpose of reconciliation? It's called glorification, friends. The purpose of reconciliation is glorification. It says there that Jesus will present us as perfect saints in heaven. This is wonderful. Jesus will present us as perfect saints in heaven for all eternity in three ways. Number one, as holy. What does holy mean? Holy means we are set apart in Christ. Why? Because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to you. And friends, now there should be a longing in our hearts to strive to be holy. I need to strive to be holy. I haven't arrived, ne? I'm working towards that, but I'm striving. I'm putting off the old man. I'm putting on the new man in Christ. I'm dying to sin. I'm alive to Christ. I'm living for righteousness. But friends, when Christ returns, we will be forever set apart from the effects of sin. Now that's good news. Secondly, it says Christ will present us as blameless. Blameless means without any spot or blemish. Again, we need to strive to be blameless. But in future, Christ will come and He will remove all sin and all guilt. And then lastly, as beyond reproach, free from any accusation. We need to be careful how we live, friends, that people can't accuse us, ne? Free of accusations. But there will come a day that Christ will present you. Every reconciled child of God will be free from every charge because it is God who justifies us. I want to end about speaking about the here and now, the present. Friends, how deep is the Father's love for us? You know, in the past, we were in sin. In the future, Jesus will present you as perfect. But what's happening today? Verse 23. I want to close. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Do you practice what you believe? That's the question tonight. Because doctrinal integrity is a sign that you are truly reconciled. Do you practice what you preach? Friends, that word, if indeed, just remember, why do we do good works? We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we are saved. If you are saved, you will do good works. And now, I want to end with the attributes of a person that's reconciled. Let's look at our lives. Let's examine ourselves. Are you truly reconciled? Look at these words. What are the attributes of being reconciled? Number one, faithfulness and perseverance. You have a longing in your heart to exemplify the new life in Christ in every aspect of your life. If you tell me that you are truly reconciled, there will be a longing in your heart to exemplify Christ in every aspect of your life, at work, in your marriage, with your family, when you're on holiday. Friends, there will be a longing in your heart to be faithful and to persevere. Secondly, it speaks about being firmly established and steadfast. You know, if you are truly saved, friends, you've got a solid foundation. And you're building your life on that solid foundation, and that is Christ. And then lastly, it speaks about the living hope. A living hope. We always taught our children that Christ is coming. Are you ready? Friends, a living hope. Is Christ your first love? Is there a longing in your heart? to meet with Christ? Do you have an eternal perspective on life? And this is my message for tonight. I want to close. How deep is our Father's love for us? Because you know what, friends? He has revealed His love to us in the person and the work of His Son. And He has demonstrated His love in reconciling us, in searching us out, making us His own through the blood of His Son, so that your past and your presence and your future will be eternally secure in Christ. I just want to close with the words of this last song that we will sing. I'm going to read it for us. Our closing hymn. Listen to the words of our closing hymn. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.